Okay, well, thank you, Jennifer, and thanks to the Health Law section for organizing this panel. This is my first APHA, and I'm very excited to be here and to be able to give a presentation. So first, I would like to say I have no relationships to disclose. And to give you all a quick roadmap of my presentation, I'm going to start with some background information on the use of antibiotics in food animals on farms, then discuss the public health implications of that use, then I'm going to describe some of the regulation of those antibiotics and legal strategies to actually reduce the use of antibiotics on farms, and I will give a case example. Okay, so how did we get here? My presentation is about reducing the use of antibiotic use in animals that are raised for food. So the agricultural industry uses antibiotics in animals for a number of reasons. And one is to promote rapid growth of these animals while on the farm. And another is to compensate for the disease that may result from the living conditions for these animals. So many of these animals live in concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, which are often have very crowded conditions and unsanitary conditions for animals. Antibiotics are really used on a widespread basis in the agricultural industry among food-producing animals, and it's usually in animals such as swine, poultry, or cattle. And these antibiotics are administered on a herd or a flock-wide basis to animals, and often it's through food and water, and it's at subtherapeutic levels. So subtherapeutic levels are less than therapeutic levels. While a therapeutic level would be enough to treat or kill an invading bacterial infection, a subtherapeutic level is just enough to prevent that infection from occurring. Now, estimates range on the percentage of antibiotics in the U.S. that go to animals at subtherapeutic levels. And the Union of Concerned Scientists estimates that about 70% of all antibiotics used in the U.S. are actually given to animals at subtherapeutic levels. Some other groups, such as the Animal Health Institute, which is an animal pharmaceutical trade association, places that estimate a lot lower, and the divergence in those numbers is largely based on how those groups define what a subtherapeutic level is. So the public health impact of antibiotics that are used on farms is significant, primarily because antibiotic use on such a widespread basis contributes to antibiotic resistance. And bacteria that are exposed to antibiotics over a long period of time are subject to selective evolutionary pressure, whereby some of those bacteria survive and grow to the point where the therapy or the antibiotic is no longer effective. And that's what gives rise to these antibiotic-resistant strains. And the reason that this is such an issue in animal use is because these antibiotics are given at subtherapeutic levels. So they are given over a long period of time on a widespread basis, and just the sheer magnitude of that antibiotic use is a lot greater than it would be if it were given to specific animals to treat specific disease. So the drug-resistant bacteria enter the food supply through a number of different avenues. And one avenue is through direct consumption of animal products. Another is by environmental transmission, which occurs when manure from these animals is applied to cropland. And that can reach humans through the airways, through groundwater or surface water from agricultural runoff. And another avenue is through direct farm worker exposure. So individuals who work on farms come in direct contact with these animals and drug-resistant strains and can pass them along to their other contacts. Resistant bacteria cause more virulent disease that is more difficult and expensive to treat, estimates show that that 2 million people contract an antibiotic-resistant infection each year in the U.S., and the toll to the U.S. healthcare system is about $20 billion annually, but if you include the costs of increased mortality or lost productivity, that cost jumps to $35 billion on an annual basis. The FDA is the federal agency that has jurisdiction for regulating antibiotics that are given to food animals. And it does so through its animal drug approval and withdrawal process. Before an antibiotic can proceed to market, the FDA must assess the safety of that drug. And many of the antibiotics that are used on farms today underwent this safety approval process in the 70s, which was before there was a process in place for assessing safety with regard to antibiotic resistance. FDA also has the power to withdraw approval of antibiotics, and in order to do so, the FDA commissioner must initiate a formal withdrawal proceeding, or an individual can undertake a citizen petition. And the relevant statute and regulations require the agency to determine whether the drug is unsafe using available scientific data. And if the agency makes that determination, it must notify the sponsors of the drug of the opportunity for a formal evidentiary hearing. And upon completion of that administrative hearing, which is subject to judicial review, the FDA can withdraw the approval of the drug. FDA has also issued recent guidance on the issue of antibiotic use in animals, and that guidance calls for the judicious use of subtherapeutic antibiotics in food animals in order to combat antibiotic resistance. That guidance states that medically important antibiotics should only be used in animals when necessary for their health. So medically important antibiotics are those antibiotics that are important for therapy in humans. And the guidance does also state that use of antibiotics for growth promotion is an injudicious use. But it does bear noting that this is, again, voluntary guidance from the FDA that is not legally enforceable. So, with that in mind, now we'll discuss a few legal strategies to reduce antibiotic use in animals in order to protect the public health. One option would be to challenge the FDA's administration of the withdrawal proceedings. And that is what the Natural Resources Defense Council did recently in the case of NRDC versus FDA at the Southern District of New York. In that case, the NRDC and a number of other public interest plaintiffs brought a claim against FDA for not following through on its proposed withdrawal of two antibiotics for growth promotion in animals. So back in 1977, the FDA, along with a few other federal agencies, the CDC, USDA, and NIH, had a task force that made a determination that the use of penicillin and two forms of tetracycline were not shown to be safe in animals because of the connection to antibiotic resistance. But despite the findings of that task force, the FDA never proceeded to undertake the formal evidentiary hearing process. So in 2011, NRDC filed a claim against FDA claiming that it had violated the Administrative Procedure Act and also the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And in that case, the Southern District of New York agreed with the plaintiffs and ordered FDA to follow through on its proposed withdrawal proceedings. The FDA has since appealed that decision to the Second Circuit, but the Second Circuit has not yet ruled. So the ruling of this lower court has the potential to make real public health contributions. And I say this because FDA must now conduct evidentiary hearings on the drug's safety. And afterwards, if penicillin and these two forms of tetracycline are not shown to be safe when used as growth promoters in animals, FDA must withdraw the approval of these drugs. And by the court's order, a final decision is due in the year 2017. And the reasons that I suggest a withdrawal or a ban on the use of antibiotics in animals would produce public health benefits is because that's what experience in Europe has borne out. In the late 1990s, the European Union began withdrawing approval of certain antibiotics for use as growth promoters in animals. And a few years later, it enacted a total ban on the use of antibiotics at subtherapeutic levels in animals. And since those bans have been in place, European nations have seen a lower level of antibiotic use among animals, clearly. And there's also been significantly less incidence of antibiotic resistance among humans and animals. And finally, farmers in those countries have undertaken better husbandry practices of their animals to compensate for the lack of antibiotic use. Aside from judicial remedies, there are other legal alternatives to addressing antibiotic use in the U.S., such as legislative or regulatory means. For instance, a bill in the House would amend the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to rescind or deny FDA approval of non-therapeutic use of antibiotics that are important for both human and animal use, and that bill lists the specific antibiotics. However, a version of this bill has sat in Congress for more than 13 years, so it is unlikely that a bill in this form would pass as a legislative measure. Another alternative would be for FDA to conduct further rulemaking under its statutory authority to regulate these antibiotics. For instance, it could make its current voluntary guidance mandatory. And in doing so, it would be important for the FDA to use a public health approach that considers at least two factors. And one would be restricting the use of those antibiotics that are important to human health, and also restricting the use of those antibiotics that have been shown to increase resistance. So in conclusion, the use of antibiotics on farms does pose a public health risk, but there are several legal avenues available to address it. Thank you very much.